TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 140, recorded February 6, 2015. I am your host, Weird Wolf, Duran Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Mike Lyons, a.k.a. Suede66.
Whiz Pop, bro. What's up, everybody?
As well as Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody. Nice to see you again.
And our special guest returning this week is Travis Landry of East Coast Antiques on PBS.
Good to be back, everybody. Let's have some fun.
Welcome aboard. Well, we're talking a little bit later tonight about the hunt. Whenever I say the hunt, a lot of people say, what do you mean by the hunt? If you're a younger fan, you might be a little bit confused by that terminology, but
I don't know why. I think of Red October.
Red October.
The hunt for Red October.
Yeah, if you're really old. If you're a younger fan, you might not recognize that, but us older fans, we're really familiar with it because it's taken a different connotation as of late, at least over the last probably maybe, 10, 15 years.
Oh, definitely.
But there's a lot of ways that it's changed, and in a lot of ways it hasn't. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that, and we're also going to find out Travis's insights on the art of hunting. And we may even dip into some tips on where to find Transformers in unlikely places and maybe get really good deals on them. It just occurred to me as the intro was playing, we got some news earlier today, or at least I saw it for the first time. Action Robo is doing a Solo Chogokin style machine robo line, which is GoBots, for those of you who don't know. And these things look amazing. I mean, we've seen Psykill, Phytor, the Leader One, Spacey. I mean, I've got a vintage Spacey right here, love this guy. I mean, he's awesome. And now we're getting like updated versions that are like fully articulated. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty jazzed about these.
Well,
which one is the tank? Is he one of the ones that had like a name that they use now in Transformers, Warpath?
No, Tank was called Tank.
He was called Tank?
It was
called
Tank.
Dope. What is it? One more time.
Tank's name was Tank in GoBots.
That's what I love, man. GoBots. They're just like, screw it. Here's a name. You're a tank.
But one of the best things about this reveal was last week on RFC, I mentioned that why has Bandai not, since Masterpiece has been doing so well for Takara, why not bring out their Machine Robo license and give us some higher quality figures? And now we're getting them. So I'm just waiting for them to show their Masterpiece Tux. Because it's an evil robot limousine in a top hat.
Jeeper Creeper?
Jeeper Creeper? I've still got some of the GoBots that I had. Like, for example, one of the rare ones towards the end, Bullseye.
Oh, nice.
Bullseye. Nice. One of my personal favorites, Man of War.
Oh, very nice.
Stinger.
Mm-hmm.
Just some really, really great characters. And then one of the guys on RFC said, what if we get Masterpiece level quality power suits and a power suit jet for Courageous and Grungy, which was two of their combiners. Masterpiece Puzzler.
What about a Masterpiece Devil Satan?
Yep.
That would be awesome.
And Devil Satan would be known as...
Swage.
No, be known as Monstrous for the American fans.
Yeah. Are you familiar with these, Travis?
I actually just saw those on TFW today, and I mean, I think they're cool. I respect Obots and Machine Robo's place in history, but... no way interested in them.
Oh.
I mean, it's...
Oh, well, you... I tell you, if they do a really good Psykill or a Leader 1, if it's as good as they look, you probably should... I would at least suggest picking up one. Just to see.
It's like a can of Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop. That's just it.
The only thing I'm worried about is they look to be around... Rob Clay said they were looking about deluxe size. I was hoping for more Masterpiece style levels, but GoBots being smaller than Transformers, you could do a smaller figure and still be a bigger figure than the originals. I'm just afraid with some of Bandai's pricing structures, these are going to be close to Masterpiece level pricing, but not as big.
Yeah.
Well, Sometimes Bandai gets a little freaky on their pricing.
I mean, looking back over Bandai's history, I'd say in the past 10 years, all their high-end stuff that we don't get here is typically very expensive, especially if you have to import it. Like, if you want to get a lot of the Chogokin stuff that's new that they still release there, it's $200-$300 a figure to get
here. I've got the whole Chogokin Galgagar on pre-order right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
wanted that. That's what, about $300?
$269 most U.S. based retailers. I was actually up at two a.m. U.S. time the morning it went live at AmiAmi.com, and literally in the span it took to refresh the page from coming soon to in stock, it was literally sold out in the time it took to refresh a page.
Really?
Yes. I mean, I'm sitting right here. It's $259. The screen is still showing coming soon. I refresh. My counter goes over to 3, which is 9 o'clock, I believe, Japanese time. Sold out.
No shit.
So, I mean, that's part of the hunt. Getting up at 2 a.m., waiting 3 o'clock, and still not getting it. If you talk to Vangelis and TJ Omega and all them, Glia's figures, these small independent figures, it's like Matty Collector all the time with them, the way Matty Collector used to be.
Yeah, my brother was big into the Matty Collector Ghostbuster stuff, and literally would sell out. I think the one that sold the fastest was the Trap.
Yeah.
Unless you ordered it the minute it went live. It was almost impossible to get them.
Well, heck, Moss Man was sold out in less than a minute.
It's crazy.
Did he have the pine scent like the original did? I wonder.
Yes. Well, they said they couldn't use the same chemicals, so it was a slight delay in them finding something that smelled the same because the chemicals they used to use were pseudo toxic now. Just by regulation standards, there was nothing deadly or nothing bad about them. It's just you couldn't use them anymore in that kind of
Easy. Yeah, it's one. Whenever I hear something like that, it makes me think of the meme picture. You know, growing up in the 80s, you know, we survived, and it shows this kid on a big wheel, and he's like jumping it on a ramp.
Now, surprisingly, Stinkor, they were able to use the exact same combination of chemicals to make Stinkor smell like Stinkor.
Mm. That's awesome. Well, let's move on to our main topic of discussion tonight. But before we do that, want to point people to our Twitter feed at TFYLP. I believe Swage is monitoring that, and I'll be looking at it from time to time. And if you are also on our Facebook page, I'll be glancing at that from time to time right here. So if you have any comments or questions that might pertain to our discussion tonight, feel free to post them, tweet us at TFYLP, and if we get a chance, we'll mention them on air. And hopefully that this information will be good for you and entertaining. I want to give a shout out to Ebony Leopard on our YouTube channel. I'm looking at that, and he's viewing. So thank you for joining us tonight. Now, the hunt. Don, I know we beat you up over your age all the time, but quite honestly, you are the veteran collector here. Tell us about your experiences in the early days of collecting Transformers.
Well, back then, Transformers started when I was 14, 1984. I bought my first it was an early birthday gift from my mother, was Sludge. And we were at a monthly antique show called Super Flea in Greensboro, North Carolina. And she bought me Sludge. And that's what started it all. Back then, you know, there was no internet. There was not a lot of collector's magazines out there. Basically, you went by the catalog that came with the toy, and you saw all the stuff that was offered front and back, Autobot and Decepticon, and you would just – there really was no hunt until you could drive and, you know, get your own car and be driving on your own. So pretty much it's just whenever I went to a store before I could drive, if there was something new there, I would try to buy it while I was there, or, you know, I couldn't get it. It just depends on if mom or dad would let me get it at the time with my money. After I started driving, you know, then I could start going to the stores on a regular basis when I wanted to. I could, you know, go check this place, check that place. But it really was just a hunt for something new, because you saw back then you would have 12 to 18 feet of Transformers in 4-foot sections, and
was a sight to behold.
If you see these pictures online of old toy layouts, and you see 8-foot of Toys R Us nowadays, that used to be 24. Almost the entire half of an aisle, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you would see carded stuff. I remember going in and just seeing Scoop, Quick Mix, Landfill, Needlenose, Spinster, Quake, all just hanging on a card. Throttlebots all right beside them. I remember going into Kmart and seeing peg after peg of Legends Bumblebee and Starscream and Grimlock, because Kmart got them without the shells. It's just the robots by themselves. So the hunt was basically just seeing what new on the catalog came out.
You know, and that you mentioned the catalog. That's something that, you know, today in this information age, I mean, we've got our iPads, we have our cell phones, laptops, the internet is so accessible, and what you want and what is coming out is so easy to find. I mean, Google is your friend. You know, I mean, I remember as a child, Transformers came out. I was maybe nine, and I was nine in 1984. So, I didn't get my first Transformer was Bone Crusher, the Constructicon, and so I believe they came out in late '84, right before the '85 started hitting, and I was fully on board with them then, but you know there was no internet to see what was coming out. It was all in those catalogs, you know, right. And you know,
you occasionally had the toy commercial occasionally, but it was so hit and miss. Even seeing, I mean, you had to watch G.I. Joe to see Transformer toy commercials, pretty much.
But you know, we had to rely on these catalogs for what was coming out. And I remember sitting and staring at the catalogs that came in the boxed figures or the Sears catalog and like, oh, wow. You know, it's like, I want that one. And I want that one. And, ooh, I want that one. You know, and it was every time I go to the store with my parents, usually with my mom, you know, I'd want to go to the toy aisle and I'd go through there and I'm like, seeing these toys for the first time, and to me, that was the hunt. That was now, the hunt.
Now, once you got to driving age, the hunt took on just a little bit of difference. Not only were you looking for a new figure, you were looking for the best price. Because, you know, when we all start driving, we all have this thing called insurance and gas. So, heck, and you learn. You check places you wouldn't think. You don't just go to, and again, this is the early, the mid-80s. Walmart was not a thing then in this area. You had Roses, if you remember Roses department stores. You had Zayers. You had Ames after Zayers bought them. You had locally Sky City and Gibson, another southern retail chains. You had drugstores called Eckerd.
Mm-hmm.
And you would check, and drugstores, I found a Brainstorm. New in the box for $11.71 on clearance at Eckerd's.
Wow.
So you would hit all these places checking because sometimes the drugstores would get stuff for other places.
That's where I got my throttle bots for the first time. $4 a piece.
Yeah. You know, there was those of you that live up north might remember a chain called Bradley's. They had one location down here and when they went out of business, I got Fangry. For $8 change because they were going out of business. So the hunt became seeing what you could find in all these stores because everyone was carrying Transformers then. Every store. If they had the toy department, they were carrying Transformers. And that was part of the hunt. Not to ramble on too long, but the only Fortress Maximus I ever saw is the one that I have right now. I saw it at Toys R Us in Greensboro. I begged them to hold that figure for me. I drove home 30 miles in each direction, got the money I'd been saving, begged mom for an extra 20 to cover the rest of it, and went back and got it.
Hmm. The only time I ever saw a Fort Max in the wild as a kid, my nephew was born, and my nephew, he's actually a Marine Corps drill instructor right now, so Semper Fi. whenever he was born, we went up to Michigan, and at that time, Meyer was just starting to branch out, and they were really all over the place in Michigan, and we went to I'm wanting to say Lansing, Michigan. Is where it was, and it was the first time I'd ever been in a Meijer, and they had Fort Max and Scorponok on the shelf, and that was the only time I ever saw both of those on the shelf. Saw Scorponok a number of times, but Fort Max was, you know, my mom. I'm like, oh, I want that one. That's the first time I've ever seen it. My mom's like, you will never own a toy like that, and I'm like, Never say never.
All right, Travis, I got to ask. Hearing these Stone Age stories before electricity and things like that, how do you think you would do what you do now if you had to follow this format where you had to wait 6 months for a new catalog? And how does that tie into what you do now? Like, how do you think you would be? Do you think you would be doing what you do now?
Yeah, I still would because I love what I do. And at the end of the day, no matter how I have to do it and the way I would have had to do it, I still love it. So, yeah, so, I'd still be on the same path if I was 30 years older.
So even if you had to count your change and your savings and your funds on an abacus and hope the wind did not blow the sand away with your numbers, you would still be cool with hunting stuff down and waiting 10 years.
Yeah, I'd still be cool with it.
All right, fair enough.
You know what it is? It's like saying that in hindsight because they didn't know 30 years ago what we were going to have today. So if we didn't know about the age of a Google Hangout, well, then you would have to do what you have to do to get the toys you love.
Mm-hmm. Because that was one of the best things is getting a new catalog.
That's the badass thing.
Yeah. I remember going to school, and if one of my friends had gotten a new toy that had one of the newest catalogs in it, he would bring it, and we would like stand around in a semicircle out on the playground looking at it. It was like child porn, you know.
Yeah. And then a kid on the football team came and kicked you all over.
Yeah. No. But also, one of the coolest things about that time period was sometimes the hunt came to you because we got exclusive offers with robot points.
Yes.
Something you don't get nowadays. And you could get Omnipots, $3 and and 12 robot, whatever the robot points were. Reflector. Optimus Prime was like $12.50 and 10 robot points. I mean, yeah, Travis is looking at me like I'm crazy, but.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we still had that.
Yeah,
like, I mean. Literally. The only mail away I remember from when I was technically a kid, and it's literally, I think, the only one they've had since, is the Revenge of the Fallen Ravage. And that was a terrible mail away.
Yeah,
that was such a disappointment. Because I remember I got it, I was so excited. And then it's like, oh, go to TFCon this year. Oh, wait, I could just buy this on the shelf for $10 in Canada. Not even a real exclusive. I mean,
That was one thing. I have brought that up to Hasbro for several BotCons. That, you know, of course, not using our old robot points because we would all get stuff for free because we have all these robot points. But, you know, but again, in this kind of environment with online stores and exclusives, mail away just is not really. I mean, we get exclusives at certain stores. But getting the form in the box and waiting 3 to 5, 3 to 6 weeks and all that, it'd be nice if someone would do it from a nostalgic standpoint, but it's really not practical nowadays.
You know what I would love? I would love that to happen just so that every newer collector that's so used to, you know, PayPal and Square and just instant gratification, I would just love to see for like a month, like a mass shift to everyone taking money orders, or even just saying they would only take money orders and checks, just to see the brain matter splattered across the universe.
Everyone
would just freak out. Like, what do you mean I can't pay right now? I have to wait. It's crazy. You know, I mean, I can't imagine now. Like me personally, I would be perfectly fine sending out something like that. But someone now that's, you know, 18, 19, just trying to fathom in their head with so much instant gratification with everything now, especially technology and payments. I mean, can you imagine how bad it would be? I mean, now I can ship something to a person a state away and they'll message me like every 6 hours, like, yeah, the tracking still didn't update. Do you know where it is? my tracking number is not registered, you know? And it's like, imagine that. Just like I said, it would just be crazy just to see the devastation it would bring to people's psyches, because it would be the worst prank on humankind.
Well, I tell you, Hasbro does have actual opportunity. They're not going to do it, obviously. But let's say if they wanted to do that just for, with Combiner Wars being their collector series for the most part, the slingshot that we're getting in the two-pack with Wild Rider, what if they had made that as a mail order? You buy the Combiner War figures. Inside the box is a robot point. You send in 12 robot points and $10, and you get your slingshot for your aerial bots. That's, you know, they could have done that if they wanted to, but I mean, obviously, it's not going to be economical to do it that way. But I would have used that switch. I would like to see them do a mail order. And how many people would be like, I have to do right money check?
Dude, you know, the awesome thing is the five of us that would do it would be able to say it's the rarest toy ever made since 2005. No one has this. No one. So, you know, if you're looking at that crowd, then yeah, you're in a gold mine right there.
That's because true.
No one's going to do that under probably my age. I mean, that's crazy.
And I think it was when that Ravage came out, I think I was in like eighth grade. Yeah, eighth grade sounds about right. And it's just like the not knowing when it's going to come and the excitement when you get off the school bus and you're like, oh, snap, there's a package for me. You know what that is.
Yep.
And just imagine.
In defense of that Ravage, I did like the Chrome. I just got to throw that out there.
Imagine that, Travis, and it would have been like Optimus Prime from the old Mellaway or Red Alert that you, or the Reflector. That you could have gotten for $10.
I wish. I would have made a lot more money. If only you could go back and keep everything.
Before we move on to collecting in the 90s or hunting in the 90s, Facebook user Lamont Howard, recollects rows and rows of toys, all in glorious boxes, Children's Palace, Doll Kemper's department store, Hills department stores, back when Sears actually carried toys, Value Cities. The hunt wasn't so hard back then because they were everywhere and the stores were decently stocked. Only thing I remember that was hard to find was Swoop. I remember Swoop being easy to find and Slag was hard to find. I didn't get Slag until I was an adult. You know, so yeah, that's some nice memories there. But you guys, Swage, you pretty much had your childhood in the 90s, I guess.
A little bit. I came out a man.
Yeah, man child.
Yeah, toy hunting for me was not a big thing as a kid, but. Okay, I may have worded that wrong. Hills, actually, I just commented in the group. Hills was the spot. Like, Hills was the jam back in my place. And I used to get so uber geeked out. I'd be like, can we go to Hills? Can we go to Hills? Can we go to Hills? And, like, for real, the best part of going to Hills was you walked in and you smelled freshly roasted cashews. Like, no joke. That was, like, their thing. And I was like, cashews and toys. What? Yes, this is the best.
You know, I have a similar recollection walking into Kmart, and you know how they always had like the popcorn thing up near the front door.
Yep.
And you walk in, and the smell of buttered popcorn and linens from like from the clothes. That's
linens.
Yeah. I mean it's. Well, I mean, just the smell of popcorn, buttered popcorn, when you walk into the department store, it just sent my juices running, and here I was going to the toy aisle. I had to go to the toy aisle.
Well, you know? for me, it was when I was working at the for K&K Toys, which was predecessor of KB Toys. I was working at the smallest store in the chain, which is literally probably the same square footage as the two apartments, mine and the one across from me. That's how small it was. We were beside an Orange Julius.
Orange Julius. Yeah, I remember those were fancy in our parts. We got an Orange Julius in our mall, and everybody
was like,
I gotta get an Orange Julius! And I'm like, you paid $6 for a frozen glass of orange juice. The hell are you talking about?
So everything was orange. You know, that's all you smelled all day was orange drifting from the Orange Julius into our little KB toys.
Yeah, I remember Hills was sweet because, like you were talking about, whichever store, I can't remember the name of, it was like, they didn't have like a Transformers section, they had a Transformers
aisle.
And of course, you know, maybe because I was a kid, but I swear they had so many more things that I could ever even count. It was just like row after row after row after row. It was like they had nothing else to sell. I remember there was Transformers and G.I. Joes.
It was like the aisle was half and half.
Yeah, and that's all it was in those two aisles, and then they had another aisle of like every other whatever that might be out. You know, this is when I'm a smaller kid, you know, in the 90s it was different, but in like the late 80s, mid 80s, yeah, it was crazy. I remember, you know, the cassettes. I'm just going to let go. But yeah, I remember Hills. Hills was the jam. The Kmarts weren't really too big around my area, but that my hunt was basically try not to rob the cashew stand and then just run. And like, I always wanted to just run full speed and like belly flop and slide all the way down the aisle with my arms open, just grabbing everything like on Double Dare. You know, I'm looking for the red flag and I'm just taking all the boxes.
The reference.
I mean, I obviously don't have any personal 90s experiences because I was born in 95, but I know from my brother, I mean, he has told me some stories, and up here in New England, it was Child's World or Child's Place. This is like both interchangeable names. I don't know if you guys even know what that is.
Did you say Child Places?
No, Child's World.
Oh, I say Child's Places is a bad, bad name. I do not like that. No. That is not cool.
I still have a lot of the boxes from when my brother was a kid, and the tags say like Child's World or Child's Place, one of the two. I don't know if that's just a New England thing, or I think it then became KB Toys. I think that might be the deal. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Where are you from?
What are you? I'm from Ohio.
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 All right. Okay. New England might just be weird. That just might be a thing.
That's a given. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah, they like their balls deflated up there.
You know, believe it or not, I'm a diehard Colts fan. Diehard Colts fan.
Really?
And I was at that the Colts Patriots game in person wearing my Andrew Luck jersey. Terrible experience. It was so much trash talking. It's just end 45-7. Ugh. Sad.
Ugh. Can you do that one more time? Ugh. Are you just plugging the New England boot styles? Is that what's going on here?
No, we're not
cool with that. We're not Ugg boots guys, all right? So you take that back up north. You're squalls.
So Travis, tell us your you was pretty much growing up in the early 2000s as a kid. What was collecting and hunting for you? How was it for you?
I remember the biggest find, like the toy I got the most excited about, was the Car Robots Optimus Prime.
Yes,
I was 6 years old. And watching that cartoon was awesome. That was the shit. I mean, it's my favorite cartoon series outside of G1 and Cybertron. So that was like right when I was really starting to get into Transformers. So finding that, I mean, it was at like a Walmart. So it's nothing too crazy. I mean, it's not like, you know, there were really toy stores anymore. They were all kind of going out of business. But that was really it. You know, walking in, just seeing it on the shelf and say, hey, you know, I want that. And my parents would always pull the thing where it's like, ah, can't get it. And then, you know, my birthday came around. It's just like, oh, there it is. You know, Car Robots Optimus Prime. So that's the one thing my parents always used to do. They always used to buy it, hide it away, then keep it for the birthday or keep it for Christmas. So that was the fun for me.
Now, actually hunting, I mean, Don and I were talking about the catalogs back in the day. Now, what was you pretty much grew up in the internet age. Yeah. So acquiring information of new releases and upcoming releases, how was it for you? I mean, I know for us, there was always that long wait.
For me, it was pretty easy. It was just Transformers.com and then, oh, HasbroToyShop.com. I'll take one of these. I'll take one of these. it's at my door in 5 days. I mean, if I really couldn't find something and I really wanted it, I would just order it online. I mean, typically I would like the feeling of buying it in the store, but at the end of the day, it's just so much easier to just have it arrive at your door magically. So that's my extent of hunting. I mean, it's not really much, but like we mentioned earlier, living in an age of, you know, all this ease, why not take advantage of it? Why, you know, look at the card back and be like, oh man, I hope I find this when I can just go online and click, there it is, sent to my house in 3 to 6 days.
There's a, you know, it is now, you know, you were growing up when, you know, the internet was coming into existence, and of course, everyone started thinking, how can we make money with this? And so that's when you started getting your online retailer and everything else. But before that, you know, there just really was no way you had to go to the toys. I mean, there was just no other option at the time. A friend of yours called your house because cell phones didn't exist, and they called your landline phone. Like, hey, I'm at the payphone outside the Kmart, and you know they've got Zaymon and Tomax. So, yeah, I get my allowance next week. I'll give you the money. You know, that's the way it worked. You know,
and you owe me for the phone call.
Well, back then they were a dime.
But a dime back then probably bought you what, like 3 acres, something like that. Hey, yep. My grandfather always told me the story. With $5, he bought my grandmother an engagement ring and
For a second, I thought you was going to say he bought your grandmother.
I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, that was a bad place for a pause.
Well, you know, it's all good. Yeah. Actually, I have kind of a random question for you, Travis.
Yeah.
And getting into the online thing, have you ever found yourself feeling like you were – or maybe something if you would warn people about when they're hunting online, have you ever noticed any trends that you feel are almost like a trap? Like they fall into a bad habit trap. Like they, I guess you would say, like they only search a certain way or a certain store. Like what do you think would be a bad habit when you're hunting a specific item?
Yeah, that's actually, I've found some of my greatest deals for when people are in that rut. Like, say if you want a Transformers Superion, this is a true story. If you just search Transformers G1 Superion and nothing else, you'll get, you know, people listing it. I once got a G1 Superion gift set unused for $49 on eBay because the guy switched two letters in Transformers in the title. And yep. no one else found it. And I was
But
like,
I mean, I'm talking about negative things. Like, have you ever found negative. Yourself... doing
I want to hear more about that. I want to hear more about that story here in a minute.
But I mean, and then like a month later, you think to yourself, man, if I would have not done that for so long, I could have saved X amount of money or found a bunch of other figures or, you know, something along those lines.
Well, I think one of the big things is everyone gets hyped up about, you know, the newest and the greatest coming out. And unless it's something that's truly, truly limited, you know, it's like buying a car. You know, when the Ford Thunderbird, the new one came out in 2004, dealerships were asking like 10 grand over sticker. You know, 2 years later into the production, you can get 8 grand off the sticker. It's the same thing. If a toy comes out right off the bat, that's $300. eventually there's going to be a price decrease. So if you if you don't need it right away, just wait, save the $80. It's not like it's going anywhere, unless, like I said, it's an extremely limited item where there's no, where there has to be a rush. But there's no need to jump the gun and always buy right away.
Yeah, that's a tough one for us robot collectors.
Yeah,
we get 30 pre-order emails a week and all that. But yeah, it's definitely a good point. Because I know early when I started looking online for things, I was so limited in what I knew and where I knew to look and to shop that when I found like a bunch of other places, I was like, I'm such a freaking idiot. Why did I do that? You know? So I didn't know if you had something similar to where, you know, like you used your loyalty and, you know, to a certain spot, but at the same time, you know, you just got stuck somewhere and where you didn't learn something right, like on eBay. You know, you didn't learn to search for misspelled words or to look for them. Because actually, along the lines of the Superion, I think it was last year, an hour after it ended, I just searched Transformers. That's all I put in the search bar. And someone sold, and this is when they were selling for between $300 and $340. Someone ended an auction. The highest bid was like $84. Sealed in the box. All that. And all they had in the title was Transformers. No Optimus Prime, no Masterpiece, no nothing. And I was like, really? Oh, an hour sooner, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the newer stuff, I'm really out of the loop on that because I've tamed myself. I don't really buy retail unless it's a Masterpiece. But for me, like, really hunting any new stuff, I mean, I haven't even bought, like, a single Age of Extinction toy. I haven't bought any Combiner War stuff. I mean, I haven't bought retail, I think, since Dark of the Moon, other than U.S. Masterpiece.
Hey, you know what's crazy? You know who carries Masterpiece stuff? Site Sponsor Captured Prey, just in case anybody didn't know that.
The one Masterpiece figure I'm excited for is Star Saber, because that's... He's like one of my favorite characters, so that's on the list to buy. And the Diaclone Marlboro Wheeljack Masterpiece, I'm getting one of those.
If it can ever come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have a buddy of mine who lives in Japan half through the year, like for 6 months out of the year. So when they come out, he's just going to buy one and take it home for me. So that'll be the easiest way to do it, because I have no idea what's going on with that licensing and all that other junk that they're complaining about. I mean, I wouldn't be, if I was a kid, I wouldn't look at that and say, I want to smoke cigarettes. So I don't know why they're having this kind of a problem.
Yeah. Did they have the same problem whenever the actual car had the Marlboro Deco? You know, I'm sure they paid for that, you know.
I kind of doubt it, because at that time Hasbro wasn't really tied in, and it was a much lower key release. You know what I mean? It was for the Diaclone car robots. It wasn't like this is a big, you know, mass worldwide release that everybody and their brother wants to buy as a Transformers fan. So, and you're going back, what, it has to be 36 or 37 years ago now? Or, no, 34 years. But still, the laws weren't as tight. You know, cigarettes and all that stuff. So that's why I don't think they really had that much of a problem of bringing it back 30 plus years later, when everyone's uber sensitive to, I can't let my child see that. He's going to smoke 5 packs a day.
But then they sit there and say, oh, that's so terrible. And then they light one up themselves, you know. But...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean... The reason why we have
soccer moms,
it's the time we live in now. That's why I believe they're having this problem.
Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, finish your story about the misspelled Superion.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'd like to hear more about that.
So sometimes, like for Transformers, I'll switch the E and the R and see if anything comes up. And one time I did it, a G1 Superion came up, and literally every section in the listing, Transformers was spelt wrong. So very, very few people. I think I was one of two bids And I got it for like $49 and change. And I don't know if a guy maybe found it by accident, bid, and then never could find it again. I don't know. But literally, yeah, I got it for $49. And when it arrived, I was like, this has to be fake. And then I, you know, I scoped it out, compared it, and it was 100% legit. So that's like the best eBay mishap I have ever found. And it's all – I do that now like maybe once a week. I'll switch letters around just to see if someone's made a mistake, and I can capitalize on it.
Yeah. This is something, again, from Facebook user Lamont Howard, and I got to give props to everybody that's talking in the Facebook group right now. I'm watching it intently here. But he has a good point, and I accidentally scrolled past it. When doing the hunt in Erie, Pennsylvania, I like to coin the phrase, if you see it once, buy it, because you may never see it again. You know, that sentiment is actually very, very true. I've run into that so often. And as a collector today, I find myself falling into that pitfall. Even if buying a Transformer, even if I really can't afford it right now, but I happen to find it and I have enough money to buy it, but it might put me a little hurt, but I buy it anyway because I'm afraid I may never find it again. And I don't want to pay exorbitant prices down the road whenever on the secondhand market. And there's been a few times that I've actually been thankful that I actually did that because it paid off. I never did see the figure again. And, I'm trying to think. There's a figure I have right now. I can't remember which one it is. Oh, Crosscut. Generations Crosscut. Saw it once in a store. Once. I bought it. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, I mean, I typically use that philosophy when it comes to G1 stuff, especially the higher end, like the Japanese and the European stuff. But with the new stuff, like I said, I don't really get like a thrill out of that. But definitely, if it's anything you really, really want, don't blow it off and hope that you maybe find it again on clearance, just buy it. Because when it comes, especially with, you know, $20 Voyager figures and all that, just pay the extra $5 instead of waiting until it's in the clearance aisle. It'll just save you the headache.
Yeah. Now, I know a fellow cast member, Proto Man, he advocates, you know, waiting, you know, because I think he gave the example of, like, I'm wanting to say the animated line. He passed on it. And then like a year or two later at a BotCon, there was like a dealer that had like all of them sealed and they were like half price or something. I can't remember. I know it was a few episodes back, but you know, you might occasionally run into a situation like that. But what I'm talking about is like the one per case figure or something like that. I'm not talking about general release, you know, that, you know, you're going to see tons of them.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you see something, and then there's actually been a few times that I've run into the situation where I think it's going to be easy to find, in its general release, and then you never see anymore. You know, like the end of the wave, you know, the last wave items. I really, really hate passing on those because I don't have the money. And then never seeing them again, you know.
Yeah,
fortunately, we have Rosses and stuff.
I made that mistake once in my life, and I'll never do it again. Especially with the Masterpiece stuff. I walked into Toys R Us and I said, "Ooh, there's the Masterpiece Rodimus Prime. I better buy that." I did not buy it, and when I went back 2 days later, it was gone. Never. So, especially with that type of stuff, where I see it, it's just better to buy it. Because, I mean, do you guys have a lot of issues with scalpers in your area? With Masterpiece stuff?
Yes.
Not the S word. The S word.
if it wasn't for me having a buddy that works at the Toys R Us near me, he said there's literally like a guy that checks every day at 9 a.m. and just goes in and tries to buy everything that has an exclusive tag on it. And it's people like, it kills me.
Yeah, okay, so you actually define a scalper as someone that really does scalp, whereas the online community thinks that anyone that buys something they want is a scalper.
Oh, yeah, that makes – I mean, that's just people who are, you know, full of piss and vinegar. They're like, oh, you bought that Masterpiece Soundwave. Now I can't get one.
Yeah, it's like, scalping it. You scalped it. You took all of them. Yeah, the store only got two, and you showed up at 9:30, and two people were in front of you. So, it's not always the scalpers. Sometimes it's too slow, and you're too lazy, or it's just not made for you.
Locally, it's sort of weird on how stuff goes full circle. I have the smallest Toys R Us in the town where I live. They're just like the KB, the K&K toys. But we had gotten in a couple Christmases ago, I have to say, at least 15 MP10s. I bought two, there was nine on the shelf when I first saw them. I bought two for me because I had a 20% off coupon. So I thought, why not get an extra? I have one in a box. And I bought four from my various friends who did not have Toys R Us. One of my best friends does not have a Toys R Us within a 3-hour drive in any direction. And they still had gotten enough in that I saw them for the next 2 weeks on the riser, still sitting there. It's weird on how it works out. And then one day I went in to check on something, and there's like six on the riser the day before. Someone drove from South Carolina to Virginia to buy the six they had left.
Wow.
So yeah, that's like my Toys R Us right now is just sitting on a pile, literally a pile of Year of the Horse Optimus Prime. They could not – I think they've already been discounted twice, and they still
– Wow.
What?
Because they showed up once in our area, and that's it.
I bought one for myself practically, what was that, maybe 6 months ago? 6 or 9 months ago, and there's still four there.
Well, how much are they ringing up now?
I think they're at $99.99.
Get out of it. You got a 20% off coupon, man? Why don't you pick me one up?
They were at, I think I paid $129 or something like that.
Actually, I don't care for that Year of the Horse bottle at all. I think it's just crappy.
Have you seen one in person, though?
Yes, I have. It's still crappy. Okay.
Because I hated it online, and I hated Sunstorm online. And then I had them in my hands, and I was like, these are actually pretty damn sweet. Yeah. I can't even lie. But I think the MP10 mold, to me, I mean, you could make it in any color scheme, and it would still be...
Well, that's why I want the Evangelion version.
Yes.
My first exposure to Evangelion was a series finale, which I have been told is bad. But I still want that Eva Prime. But when I first moved up here to Virginia many years ago, Robots in Disguise had ended, and we were moving into Armada and Energon. The Toys R Us, about 45 minutes away, had about 35 Scourges in the box.
Really?
$24.99.
Wow.
Yeah, so, hindsight's 2020.
Talking about the Evangelion Prime, Swage posted in the Facebook group earlier this evening, you know, what's your current holy grail? And since I'm kind of in the process right now of cleaning out some stuff, and I'm focusing more on Masterpiece and third-party style, Masterpiece style, I would have to go with the Evangelion Prime as my grail because, I mean, it's exorbitantly expensive, and I freaking love that deco on it. You know, it's gorgeous.
I was lucky a couple of years ago and got my Holy Grail, which was a Black Fire Convoy or Dark Fire Convoy, which is probably one of the easier lucky draws to get, per se. But, I really would like that Evangelion Prime, too.
Twitter, on our Twitter feed, user @MarkDucreau, says, so you guys are talking about the old classic toys, which I remember as a child. Yes, a child in Toys R Us, but what's your thoughts? We're talking about those right now. going out and finding them at different places. I know as a kid, my favorite places were to hit were Zaire, Children's Play World, and Kmart. Kmart was excellent for hunting for Transformers. Walmart was kind of, you know, your general release stuff. You know, I mean, if I wanted to find something common, I'd go to Walmart. But generally, it seemed like the other stores always had the harder to find stuff. Skylinks and everything. Yeah.
Well, here's something that'll make you wish for the old days. We had a Roses in town. We went there. Roses, again, was a big Southern department store. On the ink at the register, the entire ink was single carded Constructicons. They had just come out with the Constructicons. $3.28 price. And it was.
Your audio is breaking up really bad, Don. Yeah, we're only getting like every other word.
Hang on a second. Okay.
Come on, Massey, get it together. Stop chewing the cords.
Okay, is that any better?
A little bit.
Okay. Now it was just an ink cap that was never on.
It happened again.
What he's trying to say is it was a whole end cap full of
Constructicons.
There we go.
And in the toy department, I saw for the only time in stores all four Deluxe and Insecticons.
Oh, wow. You know, I only ever saw Barrage, Chop Shop, and Venom, but Ransack I, like, never saw. You know, it seemed like there was always, like, one out of a group that was always really hard to find back in the day. I mean, even, you know, today... You know, Hasbro stated, you know, it's they want to put out, they don't want it like it used to be back in the day, where if you have like entire sets, like combiner sets, they don't want to make it so it's hard to find that one last piece. You know, you don't want to, you know, because it's hard to collect and get behind a line if it's hard to find everything that goes together. And back in the day, sometimes like combiner limbs, you might find the combiner limbs easily, the ones that's on the card. But I remember Motormaster being rather difficult for me to find. You know, it's like I would find Onslaught or Silverbolt, but would hardly ever find a Motormaster. And I think
actually that ties into part of Mark Ducrow's question, and that is he's wondering about how do you think it's changed the way these stores present the toys to us? And part of that would be what you're getting into is the distribution or availability, I guess, where out of a 5-figure set, you know, they release 2 at a time with something extra, or 3 out of the 5 and stuff like that. Like whereas, you know,
And now you're dropping off.
You think back then they picked other? Whereas now we know it's distribution and they assort the cases a certain way. You know, do you think back then that they were doing it the same way?
Come again, you dropped off on me.
Oh, come on, man. I was saying part of Mark Ducrow's question was the way we're presented the figures now as opposed to back then. And getting into what you were saying is that back then, you know, it was hard to find one or two of something. Whereas now, we know the case assortments. We know 3 of 5 figures are not coming out all in one box. You know, we have to wait for separate waves. Do you think back then it was the same deal? Or do you think that maybe people were just picking off one or two that looked cool, but they were all distributed?
I think it was more or less... not necessarily the case assortments. I think it was because it made sense back in the day if I believe Silverbolt, Onslaught, and Motormaster probably came. I would imagine 6 per case, and it was probably 2 of each. I think the reason that Motormaster probably sold, it's a black semi. I mean, kids like big trucks, and he was kind of more the, to me personally, he was more visually appealing, the black semi with the purple trim. I really like that. And he combined with the cool looking cars. And I think it was just really hard to find for me in my area that I lived in South Florida, because of, you know, people just buying it. I actually had to come to Kentucky, where I live now, on summer vacation. And I happened to run across a Motormaster at a Kmart. And that's how I got my Motormaster as a kid. I actually had to come to a different market to find one, you know, so it was, you know, I don't think it's so much today or back then case assortments. Now today, like we know the combiner wars, we didn't get air raid in the first wave. We're going to have to wait till the second wave to get air raid. So, you know, if we didn't know that, if this was back in the day, you know, we see that we're getting Superion, and we know that there's a fifth jet that is supposed to go with Superion. We'd be looking all over the place for this. It's like, wow, this guy is so hard to find. And then when wave two hits and everybody finds him, he's snapping, snapping him up left and right, and he'll be hard to find for some people that are late getting to the store. So that's how I would see it happening today. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. And I think they really weren't as concerned with having a balanced case as getting these stuff worse because it was doing so well. I mean, I'm sure that it's behind making sure they made money per case.
You're dropping off on us, Don.
We are just having all kinds of good luck tonight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Live podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Joys of.
Boom. Yeah. Oh, the short version is, I think they were just trying to get product out the door, because even in the same market, not the same stores, didn't even get the same wave of characters.
Yeah. I think that's possibly it too. Travis, what's your thoughts on this?
On the wave, I mean, in my opinion, I think it's the same thing happening now that they did 30 years ago, just we didn't know. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, it would make sense to, you know, do two at a time and always have maybe that fifth one be the oddball where it's like, oh, now I have to get it. So that's what I mean.
You think, because the thing that pops in my head, though, when you say that is that Transformers was part of the wave of cartoons and toys that followed the opening of the U.S. law to where we were allowed to have those kinds of products. Whereas before, if you had a toy, you couldn't have a TV show. Like, it was against the law to do that. And the 80s is where the flood came, because they opened that law and everything was merchandised. Everything was just put either – it was a cartoon and they just wanted to make a bunch of toys. Or, you know, there was a toy and they just had to make a show to match up with it. So that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know, because I don't think they even considered case assortments then, because they were just fast producing anything they could sell, and they were just putting a show out just for the heck of it. You know, like the first three episodes, you know, those were all planned ahead of time, but then it went big and they were like, it just, you know, you could tell everything following was kind of thrown together and they didn't know. It kind of just seemed like they were just waiting to see if it was going to catch on, and then they would expand. They didn't really plot everything out, just because, like I said, the 80s was when everything was just like, make a cartoon, make toys, make a cartoon, make toys. I mean, everything was just thrown together back then, really.
I mean, I'm not familiar with that lore, nor I didn't even know it existed, but what, are you sure that would be the 80s? Because what about the stuff in the 70s?
It was He-Man. He-Man was the first cartoon toy line that was produced after the law was repealed by Ronald Reagan. So
if it was a live action show, it wouldn't matter, because I'm thinking $6 Million Man.
Yeah,
live action. It could not be a cartoon. I think was the main component of that law. It could not be a cartoon. Like, because I think the way the law was, it was basically keeping away from advertising towards children specifically, and they figured a cartoon format was the baseline of where that would start.
Supposedly, the kids could tell. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's interesting. I didn't know that, but continue.
Supposedly,
schooling people, man. It's TFYLP. Yeah. What?
It's supposedly kids cannot tell the difference between the show and the commercial, and thus would be confused by the advertising.
Oh, no shit.
They considered a cartoon, a 20 to 30 minute commercial, as opposed to
a cartoon.
Like a cartoon show. You're not allowed to make 30.
I sincerely think that's probably why, like Diaclone and the lines like that never really took off. But yet you use the same molds in Transformers, but repackage it with a different story backed by a really popular cartoon. Yeah. And you have the madness that is Transformers. I mean, they're virtually the same toys that were out just a few years prior, before you had the cartoons that could drive the sales.
Well, a lot of people also say during about between Transformers and GoBots, because just the individual Transformers had characters and personalities, even if it was the short bios on the back. The GoBots had nothing on the back to distinguish them from each other.
Yeah, they virtually. Well, aside from the card art on the front, they were pretty much the same cards, weren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah. I got a listener question here from our YouTube comments. Listener Dustin Ray posted about 5 minutes ago. He says, "Hey, I'm enjoying your show. Found you guys through Dust Mites on Instagram. Hey, I buy a lot of used Transformers in thrift shops and yard sales. How have you guys done in the used area of collecting? Thank you for listening, and we hope that you are enjoying the show and continue to listen. And I'd like to hear Travis's thoughts on this."
Yeah, actually, do you guys have Savers out where you are? You know what that is?
No.
Savers?
I don't.
That's like, it's essentially like a Salvation Army type of deal where it's all used stuff turned in for a dollar. A single dollar, I found a Cerebros in a bag.
Wow. For a dollar?
For a dollar. $1, I found a Cerebros.
But did you say it when you found it? Did you say, "I'd buy that for a dollar"?
No, I looked at this and I was like, "Oh shit, are there other Fort Max parts amongst these bags?" So I literally cleared off the pegs of all little Ziploc bags, looking through them and be like, "Oh, there has to be more parts." Literally just the headmaster was in a bag with, I think it was like maybe a couple green army men and like a Tootsie toy for a dollar.
Ooh, a Tootsie toy. What's that?
Yeah.
A Tootsie toy, like the little like
diecast cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like diecast or lead. They're hollow, have like the black plastic wheel. They're very small, but that was craziest find for like a thrift store type of deal. It was a Cerebros for a dollar.
I think I can answer this question because my entire collection, other than what was bought at that original flea market, in the boxes or the antique show, all of my G1 collection for up until I was 16 was all secondhand. I bought nothing in the stores. Everything I bought was secondhand. One week I bought Wheeljack. The next week I found Wheeljack's ears, the little clear fins from another seller. I bought a Sure Shot from a guy for $5. Took me 3 years to find a Spoil Sport to go with him as his target master. So most of my collection from 84 to 87, because I started driving after I turned 17. Everything was loose from flea markets, swap meets, yard sales. My mask collection is the same way. 90% of my mask stuff was all loose.
Which, incidentally, there is rumors that it's coming back.
Mask?
Mask has been trademarked. Visionaries has been trademarked. They've also trademarked GoBots, but that could also be because of the news today out of Japan about
the Machine Robo.
Machine Robo figures.
Visionaries would be cool. I'd be down for that. I'd be interested in that.
I'd be interested in the mask, updated mask. I'm all for that. Swage, you have any yard sale or anything of that nature?
Man, I think I'm in like a bad area for that, which is interesting because I'm relatively close to Cincinnati, and I will say that I know a couple people that do some hunting at yard sales and flea markets. I never see these deals, man. Ever. I never see any crazy vintage rare thing for like $5. Ever. But I hear these stories and
that makes it worse, doesn't it?
I tell them not to tell me because I just get so pissed off. Because like if I find something, for example, online and it sells consistently for $200, if I get it for like $140, $150, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm the man. Oh, I got that deal, dude. I got that deal. And then one of these cats will come out. They'll be like, hey, bro, check this out, man. And they'll have like, we'll go with one of these little dudes, little Starscream for the Decepticon click just for them. So, and they'll be like, but in place of this, it's like, I can't even, it'll be like the ring Harrison Ford wore in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it'll be like, yeah, I got it for $250 and it's worth like $400,000. Like that's the kind of crap I get. I mean, it's not that extreme, but it's pretty close. I mean, I'm talking like they'll spend $20 in a weekend and they'll have like $800 worth of crap. And I'm like, go to hell, shut up, don't ever talk to me. Or I'll give you $50 and I'll sell it for $200 or something. I mean, I don't even know how to react to that because I'm like, if I go to a yard sale, you know what I find? I find golf clubs. I find like old sweaters, and I find I'll find a toy from like a classics Rodimus, and the guy will be like, yeah, I looked online, he's worth about $85. And I'm like, yeah, but you got a $300 set of golf clubs over there for $15. How about I just give you $10? Nah, man, I'm sitting on that one. It's gonna be worth some money. And I'm just like, I give up. I never go. The flea market is like not that far from me, but to me, I'm not that guy. I don't have that luck, so I just I don't bother. I just look online.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I know. Whenever I live in Kentucky, and you know, you go through rural areas where they have a lot of yard sales. Every time I see a sign that says yard sale, and I see it on the side of the road, I'll slow down if I'm driving, and I'll look really closely. But usually, what you see is like the little play school stuff and things like that. I'm not one that's really to just stop and look, but I really should. I really should. But most of the time, like whenever I go to flea markets, I find like junk. You know, I might. Well, this I believe right here was a flea market find for me. I found a incomplete Jeeper Creeper, and the guy had like a dollar on it. And I'm like, that's insane. I'll take that. But I really don't have the luck either for finding things in thrift stores.
Yeah. I can share with y'all the ultimate story that's not mine. And to this day, it makes me sick.
Oh, I got a pretty good – I got a follow-up story, but go ahead. Okay.
Many of y'all might know M. Cipher. Been in the fandom a long time. Worked with Fun Pub on a lot of the artwork, a lot of the storyline. M. Cipher actually lived in the same city for several years, and I would help him find stuff here. He would help me find stuff. And there was a big flea market in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he got there before me one day. Minerva, loose, complete, except for the small guns. $7.
What? Okay.
Minerva.
Minerva.
Minerva
in the U.S.
Minerva in the United States, loose, complete, except for the small handguns.
GTFO.
$7.
Wow.
I've seen it. Cypher showed it to me. I hate him. Because I was there an hour too late.
Wow.
You just shut down the whole show, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's not that good.
We might as well call it a night after that. I hate you, God.
Yeah, like, damn it. Seriously. Wow.
Why would you even tell that story, Don?
For the same show, I got Man of War for $3.
God. You're lucky, man. You're lucky.
I missed it, too. How could that be lucky?
Whatever. You shouldn't even told the story. That's just disrespectful.
Yeah, that is wow, that's... Damn.
Yeah. So you had a story there, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of competes. I mean, I got a G1 Mirage sealed in the box for $20.
Sweet.
When and where?
At a local auction in a box lot.
I hate this show.
This is like going back. This is going back like
four. All I can say is it's a good thing Megamus isn't here because God knows what kind of crazy crap he'd be.
Well, I'm going to say this.
I got a masterpiece slot for $14. And,
to all of our fans out there, please don't start posting the stuff that you missed or the stuff that you've heard about. Because we're going to end up depressing ourselves the whole night.
I'm already spitting fire at people. I told one guy to shut his filthy mouth, and it's just going to get worse. You might as well just censor me right now. I mean, this,
but don't forget our Twitter feed at TFYLP. Hashtag us at TFYLP. And tell us your finds and everything. We'd love to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, at tftalk.net official, you can share us your images as well as on Facebook, the facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Before we move on, Retro Robot Radio on YouTube, going back to the talking about the cartoons and being able to use those as a vessel to sell toys. Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Congress tried to put limits back on the TV shows in 1988, but Reagan vetoed it. There is a link to an article in the New York Times on our YouTube channel for this video. So just scroll down in the comments and look for Retro Robot Radio, his comments, and the link will be there. That's very interesting. But as far as fines for me, I really don't really have a, I dropped my iPad. I really don't
That's
have
not the same as dropping the mic, Durant.
No. it's like, I'm done. Just drop it. Yeah. I really don't have any flea market or thrift store fines. But I do have, a modern day, equivalent to thrift store as Craigslist. Believe it or not, Craigslist, you can find some amazing things on there. And I'm not much of a G.I. Joe fan. You know, a lot of people here that's on this show might give me the bird for that. But I'm just not a huge Joe fan. I mean, I like the show back in the 80s, The Real American Hero. I had a few of the toys, but Transformers just – is just my thing. And I had a G.I. Joe 25th anniversary Rattler. And I had one still in the box. I'd opened it and stickered it and everything, but I'd put it back in the box and everything. That's how I displayed it. Really didn't want it. Well, I got on Craigslist one day. I was at work waiting for my truck to be ready, and I'm just scrolling through Craigslist on my phone via the app, and there was a 100% complete Beast Machines Magmatron. which was a Target exclusive back in the day. Guy had it 100% complete, and he was offering it for like $60, or he would accept a trade. And there were two things that he had trades for. One of them was a G.I. Joe 25th anniversary Cobra Rattler. And I'm like, hey, I have one of those. I don't want it. I want a Magmatron. And I had just gotten rid of my Japanese Magmatron and was having seller's remorse. And I'm like, so I messaged this guy. I said, hey, is this Magmatron still available? I have a Cobra Rattler. And he sent me a message back within 5 minutes. Says, yeah, it's yours. I want the Rattler. You know, because I sent him a picture, and we met up, and we talked for probably 35 minutes.
And then made sweet love.
Yes. And, yeah. That was awesome. That was an awesome find for me.
I've had pretty good luck on Craigslist. Actually, just a month ago, I picked up a Leader Class Cybertron Optimus Prime for $40, sealed in the box.
I hate you guys. You know what my experience is on Craigslist?
That's like an okay deal.
No. You want to hear my Craigslist story? This is how my Craigslist story goes. Hey, I'm looking to sell some G1 stuff, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll just check it out because, you know, I just figured it was worth looking into. So I meet these people at a comic shop, and now – I don't know what kind of wording I should use for this, but basically they were not the kind of people that should have toys. They were not the kind of people that should sell toys. And they had like a Devastator and some movie toys, and I could smell the toys. I walked in the shop and they had already been like way in the back. As soon as I walked in the door, I could smell them. Like, yeah, wow. I could just smell wretched. I'm not even going to go there because I'll go on a tangent, and we all know what happens when I go on tangents here. But basically, that's my story. I showed up and there was like raw sewage in a box and a mangled up Devastator that looked like it had been dropped in a few ashtrays with some tar. So needless to say, Craigslist is not a spot where I go when I go looking for stuff or for good deals. So screw you guys and your stupid good stories and your positive vibes. Tired of your crap.
Facebook user Mike Boyle says, best flea market find for him was about 5 to 6 years ago. He found a G2 Grimlock loose for $2. It was the light blue version.
What's his name?
Mike Boyle.
Mike Boyle, you can shop it. Tired of the good stories. All you just shut up. The Facebook group is done. We're not doing this anymore. This is over with.
Now I will say I did have it's kind of a thrift store, but it's strictly toy store. There's one here in Louisville. I went in there, about 6 months ago, and I had a whole bunch of Hot Wheels that still sealed on the card, taking up space. I used to be really into them, but I didn't have the room to display them. So I took them in, and I had probably about 40, 45 Hot Wheels cars. And no, I had more than that. I want to say it might have been 100. Anyway, they were common cars. I mean, I just buy them because I thought they were cool looking. They're not necessarily complete sets. And in this toy store, you know, it's generally just loose stuff. Like you might find, you know, Cybertron figures still in a Ziploc baggie, or you know, you might find some G1s there, but they're exorbitantly overpriced. Well, they had a few Japanese toys there. And they had a Flash Lyle Convoy complete in the box for $45. Yeah. And I'm like, well, can we just trade all of these Hot Wheels for that Flash Lyle Convoy? And they're like, well, most we'll give you for these Hot Wheels is like 25 cents. So they gave me 25 cents each, and I paid like $10 for a Flash Lyle Convoy. Complete in the box. The only thing was, was, and longtime listeners may remember this story whenever I picked it up, is that whenever I got it home, I mean, I did slide it out to make sure all the missiles were there, but I slid it right back in. But whenever I got it out and took it out of the tray, it was very clear that the previous owner hit the ganja just a little bit much. I mean, this toy and box reeked of it. I mean, the box, I had to leave it on a shelf with the end of it open for the longest time just to get it aired out, and my cats would be jumping up going. It's like, yeah, sniff away, sniff away. But I think that's the closest I have to a.
I probably shouldn't tell my great find, but I'm going to. It's fun. That dark
fire.
It'll
make me kill you, Don. Yep. It'll make me kill you.
That dark fire convoy that I picked up, the black fire convoy, that was a lucky draw. The BotCon before I found this one, myself and a good friend of mine, Brad, we were trying to get the other to buy the one that was there for $1,300. So we wouldn't buy it. We were trying to get the other one to buy it, which for a Blackfire convoy at the time wasn't great, but it was reasonable because they are a lucky draw figure. Needless to say, neither one of us got that. And so about a year later, I'm on eBay and there's one there. Buy it now, $700. The day before, I get a notification from eBay. Take 10% off any purchase up to $100 off. So I got my Blackfire Convoy new in the box for $600 and $10 shipping.
Wow.
Nice.
So that the coupon hit the day before it was the Blackfire Convoy went up. So that's probably one of the best deals I've ever got.
Yeah, I mean, the only other place where I've had luck would be the clearance aisle at a Walmart. That is a gold mine. If you don't check that, you're going about it wrong. That is Human Alliance. Who's the orange one? Trax? No, not Trax. Mudflap?
Yes.
Yeah,
Revenge of the Fallen, Human Alliance, Mudflap. $19. Awesome.
Well, that's generally, they're getting rid of things that's overstocked that's been sitting in their back room in a box, and, you know, they throw it out there, and, you know, who knows what's been sitting back there.
Yeah, this wasn't me. My brother, he lives in Western Mass, which is, compared to where I live, like Styx Central, honestly. It's all cornfields. So he calls me up. He's like, hey, the box was crushed to hell, but it's like, shit, why not? You know what I mean? That's a pretty tough figure. I never found one back when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Now, what?
Oh, I lost you. Cut out a little bit.
No, you cut out. Don't you come on the show talking about we cut out. You cut out. Chill out, bro. Chill out. All right. You know what? I'm just going to tell everybody, I'm still angry about this whole treasure trove find thing. So I'm just going to sit here and look at Twitter and, you know, you guys just do whatever.
Now you sit there and play with your tweeter and we'll.
That's right. I will. I got your password. Shut up.
Yeah. Tweet us at TFYLP and tell us how much you think Real Robot sucks. So, okay, now we've talked about our stories and finding things that were, you know, extreme markdowns, crazy finds, and what it was like to hunt for Transformers in different eras, from the beginning back in the 80s up to right now. Let's take a quick look I'll go to each one of us and you tell me what you think has changed the most and what has stayed the same. And I'll go with Don first since he's left on my screen here.
I think what's changed, that's a good question, dang it. I think what's changed the most is being able to shop around on the internet, compare your prices, not just major retailers, but independent sellers as well, without literally driving all of a creation. That's, you're able to check condition versus price versus shipping. So you have the options now to get the best deal possible at that time. You just got to put the legwork into it. What I don't think has changed is that the frustration of actually trying to find the new stuff when it comes out. Because not only do the websites get it and then sell out almost immediately, like what happened to me on with the Solchagogan Galmagar, in less than 10 seconds it rolled out. What happened to Matty Collector, used to happen to Matty Collector for the Masters of the Universe stuff. And it just hunting and checking your favorite stores and it not be in stock. And you go to Hasbro Toy Shop and you see if the Combiner Wars have been added. Or you go to Captured Prey and see if it's been added over there. It's just, it's still going to take time to drift through the system and get in stock everywhere. Despite the fact everybody is finding it in your area except you. And you can't find it anywhere. You can't find it online. You can't find it in the stores. It's that same, this is crazy. We should not be running into this in 2015, but people do.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Swage?
All right. I'm going to go with what I don't think has changed is, oh, God, Duran, that's a really, really good question. That should have started the show.
Journalism.
Wow, that's, you got to prepare for stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think what hasn't changed is the fact that there's always more people looking to get into the hobby. And, you know, the, as long as there's a product or a story, some sort of fiction, anything of the sort, there's always going to be fans and followers of that, collectors, whatever, however you want to define it. No matter how big or small that, that niche may be, there's always going to be people waiting to get into something different or new or old. But I think the biggest change that I would compare to my experience, like when I first really got into collecting, is your resources. So what I mean by that is if I went to, back in the day, if I went to a store and I saw 10 different toys, you know, today or like then I would be like, okay, there's 10 toys, there's 10 slots. They only make 10 toys. You know, there might be more next month. Whereas now you go online and you can plan months and months and months ahead of time because you have resources that show you and you can just look by pre-order listings and, you know, message boards, all sorts of stuff. And you can basically plot out like a year's salary on toys immediately. You know what's going to come out, when it's supposed to come out. You get a general idea, you know, pretty much what it's going to look like. So I think, to me, that's the biggest change, because before the internet got so big and became such a huge resource, it was just you went to the store and you hoped for the best. So I think the biggest change that I can think of, you know, on the spot is going to be just the fact that you can actually budget yourself and you can find your niche in the hobby by using all the resources that are now available instead of being stuck with whatever you see in a particular store.
Awesome. What about you, Travis?
All right. Well, I'm going to see if I can tweak this question maybe a little bit in my favor. Do you want my opinion on retail buying or on vintage buying?
Whichever you feel best suited to answer.
Well, I can talk about both, but I think vintage I can give you a bit more insight on it.
Let's go with that.
All right. This is going back to the story Mike had about the Rodimus, you know, a couple minutes ago. Now with the internet, and especially, I mean, shit, I've contributed to this with people watching too much TV. They think everything they own is worth $1 million. And it's so much harder to buy vintage from the uneducated than it was, I'd say, not even 10, 5 years ago. Like, if I were to go to a local flea market tomorrow, Saturday morning, right down the street, I know there will be someone with either a G1 Optimus Prime or, like, I kid you not, 2 weeks ago when I went to one, a loose G1 Jetfire, no accessories, yellow to shit, a guy wanted $110 for it. And I,
well, you
I
do honestly, realize this thing has been reissued umpteen times.
But it's vintage, bro.
Like, and honestly, I just was talking to him for the hell of it and to entertain myself. And whenever I go about trying to buy things in the wild, I guess you could call it, I always act like I am 100% dumb as bricks. I have no idea what I'm looking at. You're showing me a G1 Jetfire. I'm looking at, you know, a Cabbage Patch doll. That's how dumb I act. So, you know, I walk up. I'm like, whoa, this is really cool. What is this? Oh, man, you have no idea how rare this is. Really? This is an antique, man. You don't see this every day. And I'm like, really? What is it? He's like, this is a vintage Transformer. And I'm like, okay, how much you want for it? I'm thinking, you know, oh, $110. What? I'm like, wow, it's really worth that much? He's like, you'll never see another one. In the back of my head, I'm like, I got a sealed one in my basement, bro. Like, come on, $110.
Let's go two tables down and find the one for $25.
But honestly, people buying vintage when you're not buying for people who also know and understand what you're dealing in is so hard, it's not even worth the effort. I mean, now it's, unless you get that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity when you find a freaking Minerva for $7, it's and, you know, with, you know, if you want, now going back to, you know, retail, to kind of touch on what you guys were talking about, yeah, I mean, it's changed in a sense where you have online, and it's easier, there's easier access to the toys you want. If, like, even the Toys R Us exclusives, I'm 99% positive you can buy them on the website, correct? Like, they put them up there? Yeah, because I remember the last, I think it was the last Masterpiece Grimlock, I was able to buy it online. So, in terms of retail, making it more relevant, I think it's changed a little bit where, yeah, you have easier access to it, but at the same time, it's still the same thing. You're going to walk into a store. You're going to say, hey, there's that figure I want. Or, no, I haven't found it this week. I'll find it next week. So it's changed a little bit. But at the end of the day, unless you truly 100% utilize the internet, it's the same process.
Yeah. I think for me, what has not changed about it is as much what I'll echo Don and Swage's sentiments is basically what you want is out there, and it's just how you go about finding it is different now. What has not changed is the want of the new figures. You see what is out or what is coming out, and you want that has not changed. But again, the way you go about doing it, actually now I still go on toy hunts from time to time, and local listener, Tater X, he's got a thing that he does from time to time called the Kessel Run. And I've been on the Kessel Run with him a few times, and, we've hit some of the local toy stores and toy outlets and looking for things, and you can find some really great stuff. But for me, I find it so much easier and so much more cost effective in this economy when money just isn't as easily stretched as back whenever I got back into adult collecting. I find it easier now to just buy what I want online and have it shipped to my front door. I'm not, generally what I'm paying in shipping is less than what I would go out and pay to burn gas. I mean, I have a 6-cylinder vehicle, and by the time I drive 120-mile round trip just looking for toys, you know, I've spent $30 in gas. And, you know, I'll, if I can buy two or three things online and save on shipping, especially if it's off Amazon, or like with the latest Combiner Wars line, you know, I just got all my stuff off of Captured Prey. I bought it from Captured Prey Select, and since he is a Louisville based store, I can just choose local pickup, and he'll hold on to the items until I can just go and pick it up. And there's no shipping, and I'm just going directly to his place, getting the items and going home. There's no driving around all day long. But what has changed the most and is a direct result of that is the fun. The fun of hunting the stuff, you know, going into a store, not having any idea what you're going to find. And that's actually why I still do it from time to time, is not knowing what you're going to find. You go into a store or a flea market and you find something other that you don't see everywhere else. And you're like, oh, wow, it's just that, you know, you're walking up on the aisle and you see that, see it in the package, and you just, you take those couple extra quick steps toward it and pick it up. You know, it's just that thrill of finding something after looking for it for so long, or something that you haven't seen in a while. And that is why I still do a toy hunt from time to time, the old style, just go out and look around.
One of the great moments is also in line with that, is when you walk in a store and you have no intention of shopping for toys, and you just happen to walk by something that you never thought you would ever see in a store, and it's just staring at you. Like, you find that Generations RC in the soup aisle, just laying there, and you just go, oh, mine. TV yeah. dinners be damned. You are mine, girl.
One last question before we start wrapping it up here, and this is a good one. When you're on the hunt for whatever reason and you don't have the money to buy the figure right then and there, what do you do to make sure that you can come back and get it later? Do you hide? We'll talk with you, Travis.
I mean, in the past, in my younger days, I thought hiding would work, and I would do elaborate things to hide. I mean, like, absolutely ridiculous things. I think when I was 12, I forget what type of toy it was, but I literally buried a deluxe class figure in frozen peas. I was a kid, and I was like, oh, this is absolutely going to work. This is foolproof. Well, clearly, looking back, hiding toys in frozen peas, not the greatest idea. But, I mean, nowadays, I don't really hide. I mean, if I was strapped for cash and I walk into a Toys R Us and I'm like, there it is, I break out the plastic card and I just pretend like it's not real money. And I just put it out the I'll be like, oh, at the end of the month, they'll remind me to pay. I can just forget about it for now. But when I was a kid, I thought hiding worked. And then I realized putting toys with, it you know, can. Produce. You think it can work?
It has for me before.
Really?
Yes. A good example is Armada Nemesis Prime, the Bendy Prime mold was basically just Armada Optimus Prime in black. I found two of them, and I wanted both of them because at that time I was I collected one to
scalper.
Keep sealed.
Scalper.
No, I kept her. I bought one to keep sealed and one to open. And at the time, I didn't have the $20-25, whatever it was, to buy both of them. And so I took them both and hid them in the hardware department behind something that had dust on the top of it. You know, I'm like, hey, nobody's touched this box in a long time, and nobody's going to look for toys behind it. So I put them back there, and I forgot that they were there. Okay, fast forward. That was an Armada. Fast forward to Energon was getting was being put on clearance. And I was talking with a friend. We happened to be in that same store. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I hid two toys here like a year ago. And I totally forgot about them. I'm like, I wonder if they're there. Went back. I'll be damned if they weren't still there. And they had dust on them, too. And I freaking bought them.
Wow.
I freaking bought them.
Really?
It worked.
Story.
It worked. Swage, what about you?
I burned the store down. I don't hide anything. I just burn the store down. Screw everybody. You don't get crap. That's what I do. And then I'm like, hey, man, what's up at your store, man? You trying to clearance out and pay for that insurance or what? I mean, you know, I'm just trying to help out. No, I don't hide anymore. I can't remember the last time I bought a toy in a store. No, I take that back. I found Cosmos and Scrapnel and Acid Storm, the Legends figures. I did find those, and they were pretty decently priced. And since I was already there, and, you know, they were cool, nice and crispy in the package, I picked those up. I think that's actually the last thing I bought in a store. Out of all the stuff, I mean, you know, Masterpiece stuff, I can't, you know, I'm not going to find that Starscream in Toys R Us or anywhere or Target. So I'm kind of a bad choice here. I hate stores. I hate people. I'm such a sad life. I don't know. Just talk to Don. He knows it all.
What about you, Don?
I do from time to time, but it's more... Like, for example, I recently found the Marvel Legends Odin Wave. I have a good friend. He's a huge Machine Man fan. Just he is the Machine Man as I am to Headmaster RC. And obviously he doesn't get a lot of Machine Man toys, obviously. I mean, it's not like you get a lot of. So I did put that back. I knew it was going to be here. Called him that night. He did want it. He had money for it. So I went back the next day and got it. I hate it. I kind of hate that. But if I know that it's something that's going to be hard for him to find, or I've got several friends in the UK and Australia, and they've asked me to find stuff from time to time. It's just I don't like doing it, but I don't want to screw them out of not getting the toy either. So I will be getting it, or as soon as I find out, I'll go back and put it back on the shelf. I hate doing that, and I don't do it that often. But if it's something like that, I'll do it to try to help somebody else. It's not like me making money off of it. It's me trying to help somebody else.
It's always you trying to help somebody else. You're a scalper. You're scalping.
Scalp.
Okay.
Everybody's a scalper.
When's the last time you saw Machine Man on the ship?
Dude, if you would speak English, I could answer the question, but all I hear is can you type it out? Post it in the group. How about that? How about we do this?
And then you can.
Yeah, you are breaking up pretty bad.
Okay.
This is not a Star Wars or Star Trek episode.
Travis.
Yep.
You collect mainly vintage, and it's, I guess it would be safe to say you are a professional hunter.
I guess.
What tips do you have for hunting for vintage figures in the wild? You know, best places to look, best ways to approach hunting.
There's two ways you can go about it. If you're trying to look for the steal in the deal of the century, that is a sketchy, rocky road I don't recommend going down. If you don't mind just paying average retail price, you're going to find that. I mean, every BotCon or TFCon, I always find one piece that is on like my top 20 list. I always do. And 9 out of 10 times, it's reasonably priced where it's not a crazy eBay price, but it's not a steal. especially with vintage, and, you know, basically, I hate to say it, but people always trying to screw you, especially online. I mean, with eBay, you get a lot of fake auctions. I mean, never buy, unless you can trust the seller. I mean, Singapore, China, the Philippines, a lot of those countries are risky, risky to buy from. And if you see a Victory Saber gift set, you know, buy it now, $550 or $600. Yeah, that's a good price. But if it's coming from the Philippines, I wouldn't take that gamble. When I could go to TFCon, and this is true, I mean, I got my Victory Saber gift set for $700. Yeah, I paid a little bit more than what you see them sometimes online, but I got the satisfaction and the gratification knowing that, hey, I'm not getting screwed. I'm getting a good deal. So when it comes to vintage, I'd say know who you're buying from. Know what you're buying. Try to, you know, read as much as possible and just do research as much as possible. Because not so much with the higher-end stuff, but a lot of the U.S. stuff, there are fakes. I mean, a lot of the G1 knockoffs are so good. So, I mean, unless you know to tell the width of the gray border on a Mirage or count the squares on the character art of an Optimus Prime, don't buy a sealed one for $200 unless you know. You know what I mean? It's easier said than done because I've seen a lot of people get screwed. I mean, just with filming PBS, I've had people come to me like, hey, what do you think of this toy? And I've said to three people on separate occasions over the course of the season, hey, man, that's a fake. Whether it's been a really bad Star Wars fake, like literally a computer printout of a card back where it's or it's been an extremely intricate and a very high quality Chinese knockoff of a sludge. So with vintage, you just got to know what you're buying and know who you're buying from. That would be the biggest thing I can stress.
As far as places, what places would you – have you found the most luck hunting for Transformers?
For the personal wants, the big items on my list, it's been at conventions. BotCon, TFCon, New York Comic Con, you know, C2E2. It's – A, I know the dealers, and basically – that's where you're going to find the best stuff because people want to sell their best merchandise when they're at, you know, the culmination of everybody coming together. So that's, I mean, if you don't mind paying, you know, the couple extra bucks, your best luck is going to be at a convention, hands down. After that, you can go the eBay route. I never feel comfortable buying on eBay. That's just me. That's a personal thing.
See, what's our funny, last show.
Yeah, like, and what's funny is I sell on eBay quite frequently. I mean, I like the power seller rating, all that trash. But I won't buy on eBay unless it's, you know, something stupid like a car part I need where it's like, oh, I'm buying this from Auto Parts Direct, a verified business. But I just don't like risking it buying vintage or anything that matter of a collectible that's worth money on eBay unless I absolutely know 100% it's going to be legit.
Hmm. Well, anybody else have anything to add to this? Don?
Basically, everybody just collect and just if you can see if you can help your fellow collectors out, do so. Enjoy it and don't let it be once it becomes work and there's no fun left. And you might want to see about, you know, what the next step is.
Yeah. What about you, Swage?
The one thing I've actually noticed online that pisses me off to no end, if you're looking for something, please do not buy from people that put, like, a Facebook post up that say, hey, I found this, taking offers. And it'll be just
unless you know that person.
Unless yeah, you see, know I don't know people that are stupid like that. It's like literally I've seen people post up like G1 stuff and they're like, if anyone knows what this is, make offer. And that's all they put. They don't nothing. Don't buy from people like that. Make them do the work to sell legitimate. Make them learn what the hell they're trying to sell you.
Please. Oh, I thought you meant like I did a thing here a while back when Masterpiece Sunstorm, I think, first came out. I found one at Toys R Us. I already had one. And I'm like, I posted on our Facebook group. I'm at Toys R Us. They have a couple Masterpiece Sunstorms. If you are looking for one, I can pick you one up and send it to you at cost. And, you know, I said, I'll give you 15 minutes to reply. I had one person take me up on it. He's a listener. And I helped him out that way. But, you know, I got no personal gain out of it. There's like, you know, I didn't do it for profit or anything. It's just, I found this. I'm here right now. It's a power of the right here, right now. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, I'm here right now. If you can pay me right now, I'll buy it and send it to you. And that worked.
But see, what I'm saying is if you're hunting, avoid the people that are not listing specifics.
Yeah.
They don't know the name. They don't even bother putting a price. That's one thing I've noticed, and if you see a person do it one time, they're going to do it a lot. I mean, I've seen things mislabeled so weird. I mean, it's been the past couple weeks have been mind-blowing for me to see how people operate. They'll have vintage stuff, and they won't have any idea what the hell it is, and a lot of times you'll notice they won't even want money. They want to trade. They want to trade everything. To me, that's just weird. Cause I'm like, if I have like complete vintage stuff, I want the money for that. You know, like you're not going to have anything equal to a vintage, complete, nice toy, you know? And if you do, you're probably not looking on Facebook anyway. So all I'm saying is as a prospective hunter, just look for the legit things about a seller that you want. You want to know what you're looking at. You want to know how much it's going to cost. You want to know what condition it's in, all that. And if I'm not talking like if they just mix up a letter and it's a typo, I'm talking the guy that's got like a G1 Megatron and he says, Shockwave, I think, for trade LMK, PM if interest, you know, things like that. You really need, cause like the one thing that always bugs me about when people type like that is I'm like, how do I know you're going to correctly label my package if I buy something from you? Yeah. If you can't even spell your own name right, how do I know you're not going to mix up my zip code? I mean, just little stuff like that. Just look for people on the up and up. And I think I said in the last episode, you know, if you got to pay an extra $5 to get it from someone that's doing it right, it's $5, you know. And if you don't spend that $5 and you think you're getting the deal of the century, it's usually never going to work out that way. So just pay attention. And, you know, don't reward lazy, lazy crap sellers that can't even take 10 seconds to figure out what the hell you're looking at. So that's my tip. Boom.
Well, I believe we've had a great show here and had a lot of information, a lot of great interaction from our fans. Want to remind people, subscribe to us on YouTube and also on iTunes and other outlets like that. Visit tftalk.net. Where you can find this show, good high res pictures. We're working on blogs and other new content coming soon. And also follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. We're on Instagram, Tumblr, just about every place that you can find us. Travis, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And, as always, you're welcome. And, loved having your input and hope to have you back again sometime soon.
Yeah, not a problem. I'm always happy to come on. It's a fun time.
Don't be coming back with no $7 Minerva stories again, man. Oh, we ain't having that. You better come back like, man, I paid like $300. It's only worth like $50, man. You know, you got to have something bad, man.
Everybody has those stories. Everybody has those stories. Those aren't the stories people share. They share the rub it in your face.
From now on, that's all we want to hear out of you.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. I want to thank Don, Swage, and Travis. Thank you all for joining us. This is Duran, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, for TFYLP. We will see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.